Global roaming is expanding to keep pace with your world.
Because keeping up can be a challenge.
And events can feel overwhelming beyond our understanding.
What might Xi Jinping do next?
What hand is Trump hiding?
Join me, Hamish McDonald, Geraldine Doogue, Latika Burke and Kylie Morris.
Four voices bringing perspective, experience and energy to the big global stories.
Global roaming. Weekdays at 11 on ABC Radio National and ABC Listen.
Australia and skin cancer go together like sand and surf. Queensland in particular is known as the melanoma capital of the planet. But in exactly this part of the world, where 37,000 skin cancer cases can be treated in 1 year, there is some good news emerging. And it all started with a study of kids, of twins in fact. A study that wasn't about skin cancer at all, but which uncovered something surprising. I'm Jonathan Webb and this is Lab Notes from ABC Radio National. This week I'm joined by Professor Nick Martin from QIMR Berghofer. Nick.
Hi Jonathan.
What we're really talking about today is long-term risk of melanoma, but what you've actually counted in this study is the number of moles on young Queensland kids. Why is that?
Well, it's a good question, and the answer is quite simple. The number of moles on the skin is the best predictor of melanoma risk that we have. And so we were very interested in looking at genetic factors in melanoma, but it's a very laborious process to actually recruit patients with melanoma and collect their DNA. And so I said, there's got to be a simpler way than this. Why don't we actually study the genetics of moliness, which we know is the biggest risk factor for melanoma and which we can count on everybody. And as a human geneticist, one of the best tools we've got available is the classical twin study, which is comparing the similarity of identical twins who share 100% of their DNA with non-identical twins who are just like ordinary brothers and sisters sharing about 50% of their DNA.
So you were recruiting twins and siblings that were turning 12 or 13 each year from 1992 right through to 2016. How many kids altogether are we talking about?
Well, we ended up with about 4,000, very close to 4,000.
Wow.
Yeah. We also got information for their mums and dads. We just asked them to report on a four-point scale, you know, and we gave them little pictures of super moly and moderately moly and a tiny bit and then none at all. And we just got them to report on a four-point scale. And amazingly, we could still find quite large genetic components with that, which just added to the information from the kids.
While doing this teasing out of to what extent, you know, the mole development of kids is genetically determined, you found across, I gather, the whole cohort, so not just identical twins or anything, over time there was a really striking signal in terms of what was happening to the number of moles. Is that right?
Yes. And this was actually an incidental finding. It's not something we set out to look for. It's just that when we came to the end of the study and we summarized the data, looking at it by year, we could just see this steady decline in mole count from the early 90s to 2016. It was a really appreciable drop.
How big are we talking?
47% drop, you know, almost halving. And I think we actually say the title of our paper is mole counts a halve over 25 years.
Wow.
There are a number of potential explanations for that. One is that we've got slack in counting the moles and we just didn't do as good a job in that. And so one way
that would be less interesting.
Well, it would be, but in science, you have to think of every possibility.
Of course.
The way we tested that was to say, well, if that's true, we would have got really slack with the small moles, the little ones, 2 millimetres or less, which are a lot more trouble to count than the big moles over 5 millimetres. But in fact, we could show the decline rate was the same in the large moles and the small moles. which convinced us that, in fact, no, it wasn't that we got slack in counting them. So another potential factor is that during that time, as you're well aware, there's been a lot more non-European migration into the Australian population,
yeah,
primarily from Asia, where they have darker skin and they've got much less susceptibility to melanoma and moleness. So we did a huge amount of analysis on that from various techniques, and we were able to show there was an effect of that, but it was only accounting for about 2% of the drop we were seeing.
Okay.
So it was a very small contribution to that.
Right. You can't account for it any other way than kids seem to be developing less moles. What's your best explanation for why?
Well, I mean, this is the good news bit. I mean, and it's sort of a God of gaps hypothesis. You know, God's responsible for the stuff you can't explain rationally. And I'm afraid it is a bit of a God of gaps thing, because we couldn't explain it any other way except to say, well, what we do know is during that time, there's been increasing emphasis on sun protection. You know, we've had the slip, slop, slap campaign.
Is there a sense that that was ramping up during that period? My memory's a bit hazy. I remember it pretty clearly from the 90s, but I couldn't say when it started.
Yeah, it was. But there are lots of other sun protection measures as well. You know, I mean, installation of awnings over playgrounds,
right,
public playgrounds, over swimming pools, the no hat, no play policy in primary schools. And, you know, I think just general public education about blocking up before you go out in the sun, putting on a hat and so on. You know, all of that, I think, got better and was maintained during that time. And so that's what we attribute this drop to, which for once in our lives is actually a good news story. You know, this stuff seems to have worked and seems to have done some good.
Amazing.
And the really impressive thing is, and this is, I have to say, this is all my work of my colleague David Duffy, who's the most brilliant statistician, and he has been able to project that this 47% drop in mole numbers will translate to a 75% drop in melanoma rates.
Wow.
In this cohort, which is just huge. I mean, when I got to Brisbane in 1986, we had the dubious reputation of being the world capital for melanoma, and the rates were just going up year on year, and people were really worried about it. The rule was everybody who's lived in Queensland, by the time they got to 60, they've got a melanoma. They've had a melanoma of varying degrees of severity. So, you know, there's a lot of interest in whether we could ever turn that round, and this looks like it should turn it round.
What you found in the kids seems to be, fingers crossed, if we keep it up, good news for adult rates in the future.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, the evidence is it's that exposure before age 10, that sun exposure before age 10 that's so critical, which is why it's so important, you know, to protect your young kids, you know, insist that they wear, you know, sun suits and so on and so on. You know, there's a long chain of causation there. So your sun exposure before the age of 10 is what's largely determining your risk of melanoma much later in life.
Do you feel like this sort of incidental finding from your long-term twin study is a significant moment?
Well, I think it reinforces what's out there, and I think scientists and the public like to know that there's evidence that something works. I mean, I think people get fed up with being badgered all the time to do this and don't do that and blah, blah, blah. I know I do. I can't stand it. But, I mean, in this instance, I think we can say, well, that has actually worked. It's been worthwhile, so we should keep doing it.
Sounds like good advice to me. It's nice to have some positive news in the world of melanoma.
I mean, in terms of public health interventions, I don't want to be too grandiose, but, you know, really the beginning of public health, or the first huge success of public health, was John Snow back in the early 1800s, who recognised that it was getting water from a polluted well in Marylebone in London that was causing cholera in that area. And when they closed down that well, the cholera rates dropped I like to think that this is in that same tradition.
Fascinating discovery, and hopefully some really good news for the future.
Yeah.
Professor Nick Martin, thank you for sharing your lab notes with me.
It's a pleasure.
This episode of Lab Notes was made on the lands of the Gadigal and Menang Noongar people. It was produced by Fiona Pepper. I'm Jonathan Webb, and I'll catch you next week.
Slip, slop, slap.
Slip, slop, slap.
It's so simple.
Slip, slop, slap.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.